From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of September 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here from Windsor, Illinois to check the cash grain situation. And we'll be joined by Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today up 3.5 cents. It settled at $3.75 and a quarter. The March there at $3.84, up 3. And May futures at $3.88 and 3/4, 2.5 higher. July 2 cents higher at $3.91 and 3/4. Next year's December corn a quarter higher at $3.89 and a half. November beans 17 and a quarter cents higher today. Finished at $10.28 and a half. January at $10.31 and a quarter, 16 higher. The March ups 9 and a half at $10.23 and 3/4. And July futures at $10.19 and 3/4, 4 and a quarter higher. Next year's November at $9.71 and a half, 3 and a quarter higher. The bean oil down 3 cents, $34.91. The settlement price, the bean meal up $9.60 at $3.30.40 for the afternoon. Wheat futures in the soft red, July at $5.67 and a quarter, up 11 and a half. The hard red at $5.10 and 3/4, 10 and 3/4 higher. And live cattle futures finished the October at $106.77 and a half, a nickel higher. December at $111.32 and a half, down 62 and a half. The rest of the trade mostly lower for the day. In the live cattle, feeder cattle were down 57 and a half cents in the September. October 97 and a half lower. They settled at 141.45. And lean hogs for the day at 66.52 and a half, $1.30 higher. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. I take it you're in Illinois.
I'm up here in the Quad City area. This is where I'm originally from, right south of the Quad Cities, about 15 miles. And I'm with a high school buddy, and we're just kind of driving around the countryside. A few guys are trying to get started. They want to get some corn harvested for the ethanol plant here in ethanol, or in Anawan. There's an ethanol plant, and it has some pretty good bids. So everybody's trying to get little corn harvested to get in there and get those better bids at the moment. But otherwise, major harvest is still a ways away yet.
As you take a look at the crop, and maybe you've talked to a few farmers, what are they saying about yield in that part of the world?
Well, we feel pretty fortunate in this part of the world. We missed the high winds. I mean, we did have some wind, but the primary part of that heavy wind was mostly west and north of us. I mean, we did have some high winds, but we really didn't have anything in that catastrophic category. Everything seems to be standing. I have talked to a few farmers, depending upon which kind of seed they put, whether it leaned over or broke off. For the most part, everybody's got to be generally optimistic on the yields. I do know, looking at the corn and soybeans on our family farm, it looks a whole lot better than what it did when I was up here in July. So I got to be pretty optimistic that the yields are going to be fairly strong. I don't necessarily think there'll be records, but they should be pretty strong.
Why did soybeans rally 3 out of the 4 trading days so far this week?
Well, you're getting, you know, fundamentally, it's the storyline is still China. How much are they going to buy? If they're going to, and then of course buying is one thing, taking delivery is another thing. There's a little worry that, you know, things they may not take delivery on that, but at least for the time being, when the buying is there, and you look at your sales numbers, our year-to-date sales number on soybeans as well as corn, they're way better than what anybody thought. You know, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, I mean, we've really had a demand story in this marketplace. And of course, you know, that is what the trade talks about. But guys like me that look at the technical side of the market, you know, the trend is your friend. This is a counter seasonal move. We've talked about this for several weeks now. September is usually, you know, 9 out of 10 years or 17 out of 20 years, September usually is a down month, and you go on into like an October harvest low during the first couple of weeks. especially the last 2 weeks of September, and we've crossed that line into the last 2 weeks of September, and the rally seems to be getting stronger. And so that tells you, at least from a technical point of view, the way I usually incorporate it, and as I have given farmers advice over the years, when you're doing a counter seasonal rally, the fundamentals that are on paper are not correct. And, you know, it is indicating to me that we may see this September stocks report may indicate that the supply, ending stock supply that USDA has plugged in to the balance sheets may be on the high side. So we may not have the inventory around that USDA has been telling us on the inventory, especially on corn. The way the corn basis bids are, talking to farmers, I mean, I don't know where all this corn's at, if it's there. So I guess I'm kind of thinking that the September stocks report may be on the positive side. And of course, when you again look ahead to the October crop report, you can get all kinds of changes in planted acres, harvested acres, and then you get, we're going to have a pretty strong yield data at that point. So, I mean, it's kind of indicating to me that maybe this cropping is big as what the trade has been thinking. The overall supplies may not be as big, but technically we're clearing the doors. You know, our audience has probably heard me talk about this many times. Corn moves in 20-cent pieces. Beans have a tendency to move in 50-cent pieces. And now beans have slid through the $10 level pretty nicely now. So, you know, the next target's going to be 10.50. And then, you know, depending upon how bullish you want to be, we'll have to see what the supply is. But, you know, you're hearing lofty numbers now. The technicians, of course, technicians can come up with any number you want to come up with. But it, you know, when you start sliding through $10 in beans, you have a tendency to go to 10.50 fairly quickly. We'll see if that happens. Now on corn, we went through the 260 area. So now, or 360. Now I think, you know, we're headed to to 380 and then on to $4. And then we're going to start getting into some technical resistance once we get into that that $4 level is going to be pretty tough, and then it could waller around there. And then of course, if you bust through $4, and you, then you start talking about 420 and that kind of stuff. But I don't want to really talk about those lofty numbers, but I really want to emphasize this counter seasonal business. When a market, you know, can make progress going upstream, and then when the seasonals turn around and is more seasonally in their favor, then they can go faster. So this market is really an interesting market. I think it's fairly strong. My cyclical work, kind of for the larger cycle, but it's a plus or minus, you know, 90-day window, was like September 15th. So then I've got intermediate cycles, and the intermediate cycle at the moment kind of says that this market could rally all the way into the end of the month, into the quarter. We'll see where we're at that point. You know, anytime you get past the first 10 days of October, the seasonality begins to turn up. So it'll be interesting to see if the markets then begin to accelerate after we turn the corner into October, or if the market kind of runs out of gas. But it looks to me like the September 30th, the stocks report, and then, of course, the October crop report, which is always full of surprises. And whether or not that's going to be bullish surprises or bearish surprises, but the funds are going to keep buying. The trend is their friend. They're going to buy the break. Funds don't try to pick tops and bottoms. They just go with the trend, and the trend has been up basically since we made our lows last spring, it's just been a kind of a slow trend. And then, you know, the drier weather, and then of course the weather problem, the wind damage in Iowa, and then the export, the demand market, everything's kind of came together here for a perfect storm to have a counter seasonal rally to the upside. And that's kind of where we're at, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. You have a good time there in northwestern part of Illinois.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting. He came to us from the northwestern part of Illinois today. He's generally in Waco, Texas. Hey, don't forget to make that phone call at 217-244-9455. One of the reasons you should do that is Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, meteorologist. He's one of the people that brings you really great information all the time. Thank you, Mike, for being here, and thank you for volunteering your services. We really do appreciate that. I do want to get right to the weather forecast, because farmers will begin to get into the field if they haven't already, and some have, and they'll wonder about Corn Belt weather conditions and what they'll be like over the next couple of weeks. What do you see?
Well, it's going to be about as perfect as it can be for this time of the year. Most days will have temperatures pretty close to normal or even a little bit above normal, and it will be dry. We'll have a large area of high pressure off to the west and another one off to the east, and the combination of those two will keep rainfall far, far away from the central U.S. all the way into October, the way it looks now. So there's not a whole lot on the horizon, and that will be pretty ideal for drying and for corn and soybean harvesting, as well as wheat planting.
Is there any weather phenomenon that is behind this dry condition?
Well, we would argue that the current La Nina is somewhat related to what's been going on. We're in a very weak La Nina state at the moment, and is projected to continue in a similar level all the way into early next year. It's not all that historically unusual. This is only a weak La Nina, and it's not expected to turn unusual. When we say unusual, that would only happen if water temperatures out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean suddenly turned much colder than normal. They're only expected to be just a little bit cooler than normal, which isn't all that unusual. But the interesting thing is that if you look back at the similar La Nina setups to the one that's expected over the next 6 months, September and October in the Corn Belt and in the Plains were all much warmer and drier than normal in the three similar events that we had. One of those was in 1978, one was in 1990, and one was in 2005. So what we're seeing now is paralleling what happened in those years. And because of that, we think that even beyond the forecastable horizon, which is about 2 weeks out, that this is going to continue, because the probabilities say it will continue through October based on the La Nina.
It has been dry in other parts of the world, particularly across the Black Sea area, from Ukraine, Russia, I think right into Kazakhstan for some part of the season. Have conditions changed there at all?
Well, it's changed a little bit. The spring wheat areas that are further away from Ukraine, and once you get deeper into Russia near Siberia, that whole area there had a major heat wave back in the summer, and now it's been wetter. So it's kind of not a much of a story anymore for the spring wheat crop. But the winter wheat crop is being planted in Ukraine and in western Russia. Now, those areas have been drying out quite a bit over the last 10 weeks or so. And even though some observers might note that we had similar dryness 1 year ago and everything turned out to be just fine, we looked at all of our proprietary data and determined that 1 year ago in Russia, there were some big rains that started on September 18th and then continued into the first few days of October. And in Ukraine, we saw some big rain start up September 26, and then last through October 5. Well, we can look at the weather forecast and look at all of the maps and see that there's no major rains on the horizon over the next 10 to 14 days. So the wheat crop is going to be much, much drier than it was 1 year ago across the key areas of Russia and Ukraine by the time we get into early October. Once we're in early October, then the next question becomes, are we going to see some big rains? Because we're going to need that for the wheat crop to establish on time. And the other issue you have to monitor is the start of the cold season. It is a little bit further north once you're in Russia and Ukraine, and so because of that, they start to turn a lot colder than we do in the U.S. in October. And so if they have an early start to winter, that would also be a problem, because it wouldn't allow them to get everything planted. So these are some pretty significant concerns. We do know that over the next 10 to 14 days, not much is going to change. Just a few showers around. And then once we get beyond then, we'll have to start thinking more about it.
Anything of interest from South America from your perspective?
Well, it's kind of the same story in Argentina. They've been pretty dry, even though they saw a decent rain a few weeks ago. There's no rain on the horizon until we get into next Thursday and Friday. So at that point in time, we'll need to see some rain for corn planting, for sunflower planting, and for winter wheat development. Now, it looks, based on everything that we're seeing, like most of the rains are going to focus a little bit further to the north in parts of southern Brazil. And if that happens, then Argentina is going to be left in this dry state heading into October, which is when planting season begins for a number of crops, and also when wheat starts to turn pretty sensitive. So we need to see more rain than just that one rain event that's projected about a week from now, or else that event needs to turn much heavier because we'll still be thinking about dryness. In Brazil, we're a little bit concerned about some of the dryness there too, but it's a little bit too early to worry much about it. Central and northern areas of Brazil are in the dry season still. Once we get into October, that's where the dry season ends. So if the first half of October were dry, then we'd be more concerned about it. But we do see some flashes of the rainy season coming up because some storms out in the Amazon are expected to expand further south into Brazil next week. And that's kind of typical of this time of the year. So their overall concerns for Brazil are considerably lower than what they are for Argentina. But the highest concern by far is what's happening near the Black Sea.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
Yep, great being here.
Mike Tenures with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Do give us a call if you can with your pledge of financial support at 217-244-9455 or just go online at willpledge.org. Either way, thank you so much for taking the time and supporting the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett joins us from the Combine on the farm there near Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. I did not expect to have you in the field today. So how are things going?
Going pretty good. You know, we basically were hoping to pick a little bit of early corn, and then, you know, a couple of the processors rolled out some deals to get guys going. And so the corn that we're delivering is, oh, it's running between 22 and 26%. On moisture, but it's free drying. So, and the processor's just doing shrink only, and so I had a hard time passing that kind of a deal up, especially, you know, with they still have a little bit of a quick trip premium. So I figured it's a really good way to knock out that early April corn and kind of get that put to rest.
Now, you've been in kind of one of the garden spots of the nation there in your part of the world. Is the corn living up to your expectations from earlier in the season?
You know, the corn's really, really good where it's good. And there's a few holes here and there, but I'm pretty happy with yields overall. I thought that we were going to have the best ever crop, you know, before we had basically 5 weeks without any rain there at the end of the growing season, which for corn, I felt like we quantified the yield enough, we were going to be fine. I don't know that we're going to beat 2018, but these yields that we're seeing so far are pretty exciting. So we've been pretty happy so far.
Speaking of pretty exciting, boy, we've had a heck of a rally in the soybean market, and it's continued all this week. That surprised me, or at least two of the 3 days this week, or now three of the 4 days this week. So that seemed odd to me at this time of year. How about to you?
Yeah, it's a pleasant surprise, that's for sure. I mean, I guess from my vantage point, you know, we continue to make sales on a daily basis. Export sales report, you know, today for corn and beans was great. But, you know, on this soybean situation, I mean, no doubt South America has been a little bit dry. There's a lot of talk the Chinese are going to have to keep coming to us. Brazil may even have to buy a few beans off of us if that were to be the case because they'd oversold. What an incredible development that would be. But, you know, a producer has to be really careful as to get too wrapped up in this, sell into the rally a little bit here and there. I think it makes a heck of a lot of sense. I sold too many beans earlier. I mean, but how many people have said that so far? I mean, but bottom line for me is that we were selling beans at profitable levels because, you know, we've got a pretty darn good bean crop on the way. So, you know, I guess a person has to be really cautious just to get too bullish after they get the rally they were asking for.
What do you think about next year's pricing? I've seen for the first time, I think, at this time of year, pricing at the elevator for 2021 soybeans and corn, for that matter, and that seems awfully unusual.
You know, I think that after we've had an era of pretty depressed prices, whenever you get the opportunity to go ahead and lock some of this in, it makes sense. Now, I guess from my vantage point, again, you know, the bottom line, I can sell less corn and pay for my fertilizer than what I could at this time last year. I'm big on locking that ratio, and I think it makes a lot of sense that, you know, if you're interested in selling some corn, go ahead and lock the fertilizer in. I don't think fertilizer is going to go up dramatically, but, you know, if corn has anything kind of anything like the move that we've seen in the soybean market, you can't expect that the fertilizer market's not going to adjust due to the fact you've only got a couple of major players there. So I like selling some new crop for next year, especially if you're covering your bases on the other side of things.
Hey, thanks so much, and we appreciate it. Have a good day in the field.
Yeah, thank you.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Boy, he sounds happy, doesn't he? Out there on the combine this afternoon, shucking corn. That's what farmers love to do. They like to be in the field, and I know you will be very soon. But right now, I've got something else I'd like you to do. How about dialing this number in support of agricultural programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media? You know, we work really hard, Matt and Dan and Mike, on Thursday to bring you a great closing market report. And each and every day of the week, we have a different set of analysts that do kind of the same thing in different words, in different ways, to bring you a really broad perspective of the marketplace. And I hope that it's a broad, actionable perspective, that it really makes a difference and helps you make decisions on the farm. We couple that with the agricultural economist and the crop scientist here on the University of Illinois campus and from land-grant universities across the nation in hopes that you get a much broader picture. If all of this makes a difference to you, then dial in your support for the ag programming right now. Don't wait, because we're running out of time this week, and it's really important that you make that phone call at 217-244-9455. Again, 217-244-9455. Or if you're listening online, willpledge.org, because it's easy to do with Discover, American Express, MasterCard. You can write a check. You can just call in and tell them you're going to make a donation. But the important part is that you actually make the call, or you go online, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. And when they ask, or if they don't, make sure that you tell them or you write it down someplace online, this is in support of agriculture. That's important too. We want to know. The station wants to know. The university wants to know that you're there and listening. And we want to know that it makes a difference. And one of the ways you can tell us that is by making a donation. I like the $120 level. That's just $10 a month. Less is fine. More is fantastic. Whatever you can give, thank you so much at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.